This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. A 2019 documentary that was directed and produced by UC Merced Global Arts Professor Yehuda Shareem will be screened internationally over the next few weeks. The film, titled Songs That Never End, explores the displacement and struggle of new refugees through the eyes of two young siblings who immigrated to Houston from Iran with their family. I spoke to Shareem about the project, and he started our conversation by sharing the story of the family featured in the film.
The Dayan family. The film focuses on the Dayan family. I met them just a day after the current administration came to power. That was the first week in Houston. In many ways, they are the last, almost the last refugees that were able to enter this country from Iran. Let me tell you a bit about the family. Abbas, the father, worked as an oil engineer for many years. Then one day he discovered that the Iranian government is using him in order to purchase nuclear weapons. So he immediately demonstrated and got very angry and spoke against the government and said, instead of buying weapons, we need to help our people who are hungry. Obviously, his comments were taken very seriously, and the Secret Service, the Iranian police, was after him. He received a phone call from his secretary, and the secretary told him, you better leave the country because they just came to the office, the police, and you better leave. The family had two homes, a number of cars, drivers, but they had half an hour to pack everything, not even saying goodbye, not even able to take any kind of money with them or property or anything. Back then they had two kids, Ali, who was six, and Hana, who was three or around that age. And the wife, Abbas's wife, Samira, who worked at the local school as a history teacher. They packed everything and drove and left everything and drove to the Iran-Iraq border. They reached Iraq and stayed there for a year, living in different hotels. Again, unable to access any kind of bank accounts or even to sell their old homes. Everything was taken by the government. I remember when Samira, during the film, she talks about that drive. She talks about crying nonstop. Hana, the young daughter, recalls the sobbing, the sound of tears, the sound of agony, that trauma where you are forced to leave. After 1 year in Iraq, the family moves to Turkey with the hope that they will be able to move to Europe. They even paid for smugglers who didn't really help, just took the money and then left them. They 3 years lived in Turkey as undocumented, they didn't have any papers, like most Iranian refugees who arrived to Turkey. During that time, Ali went to school, Hana went to school, the family lived in one bedroom, all four of them. Ali was bullied in school, and not only by his peers, but also by his teachers. So he decided to stop going to school. So over the next 2 years and a half, he just stayed at home with his mother. The same happened to Hana. So she, just like her brother, stayed with the mother in all days, and you hear about it in the film, they just pray. The mother during that time, Samira, lost sense of hope, meaning she began to be really, really depressed, stopped cooking, stopped taking care of the room, of the house. And Abbas was working for 16, 18 hours a day for less than a minimum wage, just like most immigrants who do not have papers and are being exploited. After 3 years in such a condition, and during which Samira also gave birth for another two young children, twins, Ilya and Helia, that you will see all of them in the film, the family arrived to the U.S. They arrived to the U.S. just as Trump came to power, and they meet me in a local clinic where I was filming my previous film, and they begin speaking Farsi with me and ask me, what is going to happen to us? Is this our home? Did we find safety here? Is there such thing as safety? What will happen to us? What will happen with America? That is how our encounter developed. I didn't know Farsi then. I'm a son of Iranian immigrants, refugees who arrived to Israel in the 50s, but they were so too ashamed to speak Farsi, so I don't speak that language. But I was able to immediately connect with the family, and then we began talking, and that's how the film started.
So I have to interrupt and ask, that question that they asked you is so compelling. What how did you respond? Do you think it is possible for refugees to find safety here?
Beautiful question, and somewhat extremely timely. I think that question applies to all of us, not only to refugees. Are we able to find safety here in this country? In this country that insists on freedom and liberty, or so it seems. Last month, when I talked with Abbas and we tried to talk about the experience of the last 4 years, we talked about how everything got actually much worse. And because refugees and immigrants who come here and don't have any other option but leave their home and reimagine a new home, come here with the hope that America, this country, will offer them some kind of refuge, a human refuge. They don't necessarily find it. And we don't necessarily even hear about it in the news. Most refugees find jobs that are less than 10, 10 less than 15, $10 an hour. Abbas he lost his job over the last 6 months. But for the children, it's Hannah doesn't see herself but being an American. Ali, as you will see during the film, constantly struggles with his Iranian Persian identity, constantly wants to stop speaking Farsi at home and insist on only speaking English, stop listening to Daryush or Gugush and begin listening to J-Lo and Pitbull. Mm-hmm. And instead of eating gourmet sabzi, let's go eat McDonald's. So there's constant struggle, particularly for the young in the family, Ali and Hannah, and they are constantly debating. For Abbas and Samira, it's a totally different challenge because they are away from what they identify as home. And there's always a big challenge in reimagining yourself, recreating oneself.
So the name of the film is Songs That Never mm-hmm. End. Tell me about that title and what it speaks to.
So the filming was around 2.5 years, 3 years. And every day when I filmed, usually like 10 hours a day, the day ends with Samira and Abbas sitting around the kitchen table, pouring me tea and encouraging me to listen to Iranian music. Iranian music, musicians like Daryush, Gugush, Feridun Farahi, they all talk about a land, a country that was taken away from its people. They all talk about that tragedy. They all talk about longing and craving for freedom and liberty. And those songs that we end every day, almost every other day of filming with those songs, for me are the songs of defiance, songs that talk about our craving, the craving of the soul, the songs of the soul for freedom, for safety, for solidarity, for compassion, while at the same time looking at so much horror and terror that we are all encountering, not only in Iran, but some will say even here.
Well, before we wrap up, how can people watch the film?
So the film will be screened this Friday at 7 p.m. through the Center for the Humanities at UC Merced. It will be a virtual screening, so, and then a Q&A with myself, producer, and some other scholars. And then the film will go into Mainz, Germany, and it will be available for 5 days, again, virtual screening. And from there, it will go to Berlin. So, and then from there, it will go to Athens and then back to Germany. So there are multiple options. And now that you're at home and you are, addicted to either to the news or Netflix or both, that could be another way of engaging with what really is a different aspect of our lives that we are not necessarily seeing through, media right now in the U.S.
Yehuda Shireem, filmmaker of Songs That Never End. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Kathleen.